All right, let's resume, please. Mr. Kelch, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. First, I would make a motion that, I guess, for if you want to call it directed verdict, I don't know if you do that in an administrative hearing like that, but I don't believe that Fargo has met their burden of proof that was established in this case and set out in the order to show that New Star is a public utility that is providing a service to the public generally in North Dakota, that it is not furnishing its product or services to the public generally. I think all the evidence and the testimony that was presented shows that there's one customer in this case, which is Tesoro, and so a couple things, I guess, just to reiterate on the record is that this pipeline's been in existence for over 50 years. Initially, it was a proprietary pipeline owned by the refinery at that time, but since 2002, it has not been. And KNEB initially, and I guess since being New Star kind of taking over it, the PSC has certainly been aware that it was no longer owned by Tesoro, the refinery, and never required a PCNN. And I think that is may not be controlling, it's certainly evidence of the how the commission looked at this pipeline and the refinery in the past. And I think it's supported by 4903.101, where it says no public utility shall begin construction or operation of a public utility plant or system without first obtaining from the commission a certificate of public necessity, a public convenience and necessity that require or will require such construction and operation. And I think it kind of makes some sense, because once that it is up and running, there's no need there's no need to now then determine there is a public necessity for it or convenience for it. But the main issue is, because I don't believe that Fargo has met its burden of proof in showing that the transportation services that New Star is offering in this case on this pipeline are open to the general public. It's open to one customer, and I think this commission has in the past, where it has dealt with pipelines that are providing services to one customer, have determined that those services are not construed those to not re- be a require it to be a public utility. If you look at all the documents that were submitted by Fargo in their case in chief before they arrested, that we believe that they have not shown disputed that initial statement, and I guess that would be it.
I can't remember, Mr. Kelch, the last time I heard a motion to dismiss. I'm not at all certain that it's in order, but nevertheless, it should be a part of the record. Let someone else decide whether it's in order or not. I would say, Ms. Manson, your response, please, briefly.
Briefly, we would, of course, oppose that. We think we have shown that it's a public utility.
Well, whether or not Fargo has met its burden of proof, the problem, as I see it, is that this is a mixed question of fact and law. I think that Fargo has at least made a prima facie showing, at least an arguable showing, and accordingly the motion is denied.
Thank you, Your Honor. I wouldn't call Joe Graham to the stand then.
Mr. Graham, you may be seated.
Okay.
Mr. Graham, as you know, your testimony is required to be under oath, and in North Dakota, I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath.
Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In other words, generally speaking, a lie. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Graham, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Kelch.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Graham, could you please state your name for the record?
It's Joe Graham.
And you are an employee of New Star Pipeline Operating Partnership, LP?
Yes, I am.
And what is your position there?
Currently, I'm the Director of Marketing and Business Development.
Okay. And what were you before that time?
Prior to that time, I was the Director of Tariffs and Regulatory Planning.
Now, how long have you worked for New Star, and did you work for its predecessor, KNEB?
I started with KNEB in June of 2001 and have been a New Star employee since they acquired KNEB in July of 2005.
What position did you have with KNEB?
I was the controller, pipeline controller in their Wichita office doing all the internal and external reporting.
Would that have had to do with this North Pipeline that initiated set the Mandan refinery?
Yes, and part of my roles since 2001 have been the tariffs and continue to be the tariff filings.
For KNEB and then now for New Star?
Correct.
Now, what could you briefly describe, and if it would be of any assistance, I know you've done a little drawing on the notepad there. Could you briefly describe the North system of pipeline, where it goes, where it starts?
Sure. I can just refer to.
Does he need to have the microphone over, or?
Yes.
Okay, I'll kind of do two things. I'll explain what the North Pipeline system is today, and I'll clarify the New York Times article from the mid-50s.
Why don't we start with that? There was some testimony about when the refinery was initially built, how the flow of oil had gone before that and once the refinery was built.
Okay, certainly. When I say Amoco, I'll refer to Standard Oil of Indiana or BP Amoco. But prior to the refinery being constructed, Amoco owned a refinery in Whiting, Illinois, or Chicago. This refinery supplied both the Chicago market, the Twin Cities market, and eventually it did. The end of that pipeline system was Moorhead, Minnesota, or the Fargo area. So prior to the construction of the Mandan refinery, which Amoco built, the product flowed from Chicago through Dubuque to the Twin Cities, Sauk Center, and then stopped in Moorhead. So the article referred to central North Dakota was supplied from this Moorhead terminal. In the mid-50s, they built a new refinery at Mandan and built a new 10-inch line to connect to this existing 8-inch pipeline. At that point, the 8-inch line from Moorhead to the Twin Cities was permanently reversed, and today it's referred to as the North System, Mandan, Moorhead, Sauk Center, Twin Cities, or Roseville. So barrels that had been supplied from Whiting just stopped at the Twin Cities, and now barrels that came from Mandan stopped. So again, in 2002, KNAB acquired the North Pipeline system. Are we submitting this?
Yeah, I think we will. I'm showing what's been marked as exhibit number 13, I believe.
Well,
what number do you want?
I assumed all of these exhibits were going to, all of the notebook were going to be all offered and received. My assumption was obviously wrong. Let's restart that. Let's exhibits 2, 3, 4, 7, and 8 will be Fargo exhibits, and let's do New Star, beginning with New Star 1.
New Star 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Then what's been marked as New Star 1? Do you have an extra?
So Exhibit 1 shows you the acquisition that KNEB did from Tesoro in 2002, where we purchased this approximately 440-mile pipeline system that included four standalone terminals that you see on this map.
And the standalone terminals are located where?
Jamestown, what I'll refer to as Jamestown North, North Dakota, Moorhead, Minnesota, Sauk Center, Minnesota, and Roseville, Minnesota.
Was there also a terminal off of Mandan for serving the Burlington Northern Railroad?
Right. There is a small lateral that's to scale. You wouldn't be able to see it here, but KNEB or NuStar does own a pipeline that services a railroad facility just off of Mandan. But there's no terminal that we own there.
When KNEB purchased this pipeline, were there two terminals in Jamestown on the North System pipeline?
When KNEB purchased this pipeline in 2002, there were two Jamestown terminals. One was connected to the pipeline, and the other was actually owned by KNEB that ran from the south to the north in Jamestown. I'll refer to that as the Jamestown East Terminal.
And I'm showing you what's been marked as NuStar Exhibit Number 2. Is that a map of the East System that would end at the Jamestown East Terminal?
That is correct. So after the acquisition, we actually owned both Jamestown terminals.
KNEB had owned this East line that where did it started down in Kansas, is that
correct? It starts in Ark City, Kansas, and travels basically approximately straight north to, and it stops at Jamestown.
So prior to acquiring the North System from Tesoro in 2002, KNEB owned this East System line and was operating at that time?
Correct.
Okay. After the acquisition of Tesoro, or as part of that, was a connection ever made from the North pipeline to the East terminal in Jamestown?
It was done.
And why was that done?
It was done at the request of our customer.
And who was the customer?
Tesoro.
Why did they? Do you know why they wanted to have you connect to this terminal?
My assumption is that they wanted just an alternate supply source for their barrels from Mandan.
Before
objection to assumption.
Before the
sustained.
Before the purchase of or before the connection, I guess, to the Jamestown East Terminal, Tesoro had a terminal just west of Jamestown. Is that right?
Correct.
And that's located north of the interstate highway, west of town?
Correct.
And so if I am a producer in Jamestown, I would have been able, or a jobber, say, in Jamestown, I would have been able to load up at that facility, west the north terminal facility?
Correct.
Now, KNEB had its east terminal that was being supplied from Kansas at that time.
Correct.
Okay. Now, what did KNEB charge Tesoro more to transport the fuel products to the East Terminal than it did to the North Terminal?
Now, we charge the same tariff to either Jamestown Terminal from Mandan.
So was this, would you say this was a benefit connecting to the East Terminal, was it for the benefit of Tesoro, or was it to the benefit of KNEB, or did it have any benefit for KNEB?
I would say it would be the benefit of Tesoro.
Why?
Because the freight cost to supply a barrel at the Jamestown East Terminal was approximately a fourth of the cost that its competitor was paying to service the same barrel from Kansas.
So if I'm one of the providers or customers from Kansas, you charge me more per barrel to take my fuel up to Jamestown than you would to Tesoro over to Jamestown.
Correct.
Why is that generally?
Generally, it's the distance the barrel has to travel. From Kansas all the way to Jamestown, the tariff is approximately $2.50 per barrel, and there's 42 gallons in a barrel. To transport a same gasoline barrel from Mandan to either Jamestown terminal is approximately 66 cents. So clearly, a cheaper freight or logistics cost is more profitable to the owner of the barrel.
What was to the Tesoro North prior to the purchase of the North system from Tesoro, was the Tesoro North terminal sort of competition for the Kaynab East terminal?
Correct.
How about once you connected how did you connect how did Kaynab connect the north pipeline to the east terminal?
Okay, I can kind of explain. Do you want to reference exhibit, or what was tab 8?
I don't believe I've offered, but I would offer exhibits 1 and New Star 1 and New Star 2.
No objection.
Exhibits New Star 1 and 2 are each received.
I'm going to kind of show just graphically what we did, but before we did anything, of course, you had this refinery in Mandan that was pushing product east into the Twin Cities market on a 10-inch main line. At the Jamestown North facility, there was a valve there that basically diverted product one direction north up to feed the Jamestown North terminal. That was just to supply this terminal with product. Most of the horsepower and product continued to roll straight through on its way to Moorhead. What we did to connect the pipeline of the Jamestown Mandan barrel into the Jamestown East was we constructed a 10-inch lateral north to connect into the Jamestown East terminal, and then continue to run by the terminal in a loop and then continue on to Moorhead. So it is a fact that Mandan product does supply the Jamestown East terminal, as well as the red line here is the existing 6-inch line from Aberdeen that's coming from Kansas to also supply the Jamestown East barrel.
And so the red line would be what is basically shown on New Star Exhibit 2, the East system?
Correct. And all barrels that go to Jamestown East stop at Jamestown East. So once they are diverted into the terminal, they do not enter back into the pipeline.
Why don't they enter into the pipeline?
Well, it's just not hydraulically possible. I'll start with the East system. It's running at approximately 400 barrels an hour. And it's the last leg of a very long travel, so it doesn't need any more horsepower than that. Plus, it's a 6-inch diameter line. But the product from Mandan comes out at about 2,000 barrels an hour, very fast. The lateral that we built allowed us to open up a valve just slightly to basically, it's called bleed off some barrels to supply the East Terminal, but we didn't want to slow the product down too much because we don't have the horsepower to generate the speed it takes to get all the way to Moorhead. So again, hydraulically, it's not set up to a barrel to enter the terminal, stop, and then come back in to the pipeline.
Where is that valve at the pipeline on your map there?
It's well within our Jamestown East terminal facility. The pipeline, the construction we did, it runs approximately right by the terminal, but only a very small fraction of the volume gets diverted to supply that terminal.
How do they I think you said bleed off a small percentage. What kind of a valve do they use there, or how do they?
They just take a big block valve that they just open slightly, and the pressure, feeds. It goes into the terminal piping and into a tank.
Are there, facilities at the East terminal that could take any of the fuel that's coming up on the East pipeline, on the red pipeline, and put it into the, well, first of all, is there a connection between the red
pipeline, the east pipeline, and the north pipeline at the Jamestown East Terminal?
No, the red line goes, never connects into the pipeline. It goes directly into the terminal.
Okay. Is there currently any way to take reserves at the Jamestown East Terminal and put them into the north pipeline?
There's not today.
I mean, since 2002, when this connection, when the north system went into the east terminal, has there been any of the product from the Jamestown East Terminal shipped back or put back put onto the north pipeline?
No.
Why not?
Again, there's no horsepower to generate the flow you would need to keep the product moving to Moorhead.
So if I understand that right, you'd have to have some type of a big pump to get it up to 2,000 barrels?
2,000 barrels an hour.
An hour to be able to take anything from the East Terminal and ship it to Moorhead.
Correct. Correct. And that product is destined for Jamestown is a terminal, but it's, they're clearing the refineries. So they want that product. There would be more supply than Jamestown could handle, so it needs to go to Moorhead, to Sauk Center, to the Twin Cities.
Is there enough capacity in the Jamestown terminal to justify putting a big pump like that in there?
No. If you, for example, ran the pipeline at 2,000 barrels an hour straight into the terminal, you'd fill every tank in about 6 hours. And then you would have to shut the pipeline down, which clearly would be bad for our customer.
How does the north pipeline run from the refinery? I mean, does it run continuously?
Yeah, the pipeline runs 24/7. It does. There's no start and stop. If they're designed like hotels and schools, you want them full all the time.
Now every number of years, the Bandon refinery will have a turnaround where they kind of shut down. How do they keep that? The flow going 24/7.
Typically, a refiner will build inventory at its facility prior to a shutdown. So again, the flow rate is reduced while there's a turnaround, but they work out their supply logistics ahead of time.
But it doesn't ever stop.
Correct.
What would it take to you know what the cost would be to actually put a connection to get some of that east pipeline fuel and get it onto the north system?
Again, new tanks can be built for approximately $50 a barrel. New mainline pump station would be anywhere from $1 to $2 million.
Is there a financial incentive for Canem to do that, to have the east pipeline product shipped onto the north system pipeline?
No, our incentive is just the product flows right by, and again, the further it travels, the more revenue we generate.
What about on the east pipeline, you have other customers, I suppose, from down in Kansas, is that correct?
Correct.
And they're, of course, different than the Tesoro customer.
Correct.
Now, would they have any incentive to have you transport their fuel from, connect it to the north system and take it to Moorhead or the Minneapolis, Roseville?
Again, typically a Kansas customer would pay so much in tariff, it wouldn't make sense to take a Kansas barrel to Minnesota when you have Mandan sitting right there. There's Ashland has a refinery, Coke has a refinery in Pine Bend.
So on the north system itself, do any of the producers from the east system ship any product on the north pipeline?
They do not.
Does anybody other than Tesoro ship anything on the north pipeline?
No other person.
Now, if NuStar did, if I wanted to. Who are the other potential customers? You have NuStar has filed a tariff in North Dakota, haven't they?
Correct.
So if somebody else, another potential customer, wanted to ship product on the north system, NuStar is saying that they would do it for this certain price. Is that basically what a tariff means?
Right. NuStar, as a common carrier, will accept a movement as a Mandan origin barrel to any of the four cities, or including two Jamestown, the five terminals we deliver to.
But if have any other, I guess, potential customers approached either KNEB or NuStar since 2002 and requested NuStar and KNEB to transport their fuel along this north system?
No customer besides Tesoro has approached us.
Who are the other potential customers? It would be maybe a new refinery?
I mean, certainly refineries are customers that don't own their own pipelines. There's various wholesale distributors that try to compete with refineries that buy barrels and ship them. But all of the branded refiner gasoline stations would be potential.
Now, if somebody wanted to do that, they would have to build some type of storage facility?
Correct. You could build a new refinery in North Dakota, but the demand for refined products at this point, if demand wasn't being met, you would see a new refinery being sited and requested. At this point, I'm not aware of any new refinery proposed.
The demand is being met by the Tesoro refinery along those terminals that you
mm-hmm.
service?
Absolutely.
At NuStar Services. There was some questions or comments about a monopoly. Does NuStar have a monopoly on fuel here in North Dakota or along the North System line?
While it appears, again, we do own both terminals in Jamestown, but I would argue that we compete directly with the refinery here in Mandan that has no tariff cost to supply transportation. Now, it was mentioned our Moorhead terminal, but Magellan Midstream Pipeline has a terminal right in Fargo that provides a direct competitor of NuStar.
Now, does the Mandan refinery have a rack where jobbers can fill up at Mandan truckers?
They do. It's right at the refinery.
That would be competing with both of your Jamestown locations?
Right. Again, in the example I used, there's zero tariff for that truck to take it right from the refinery. If he goes to either Jamestown terminal from Mandan, they pay approximately 66 cents a barrel.
Now, for the purposes of this hearing, does it matter if the refinery was built in 53 or 54 or 58?
To me, no.
And I think your initial affidavit indicated that it was in 58, I think, so that was just an...
Right, and I would add that sort of we were partially right in that the 10-inch section and the refinery were built together to connect to the existing 8-inch line that was being serviced to Moorhead.
Now, so the line from Mandan to Moorhead is 10-inch. There was an article that mentioned a 10 3/4-inch.
Correct. The what we call the North Pipeline System, it's approximately a 10-inch line all the way to Moorhead, then it drops to an 8-inch line.
What is the direction now, or I guess since KNEB had it and certainly since NuStar had it, what's the direction of the fuel on the North System?
The direction for sure since KNEB has always been, you know, from Mandan to the Twin Cities.
Never going... west, anywhere along that line?
Correct.
Now that the Mandan refinery, I guess since the Mandan refinery has been online, is there any reason to be shipping fuel from Whiting, Illinois to Moorhead or to Mandan?
There really isn't. In the 1950 article, it mentioned that the original refinery was 30,000 barrels a day. It's actually doubled. Today it's up to approximately 60,000 barrels a day. So again, it needs to clear itself. It doesn't rest just like our pipeline. It takes crude oil in, makes gasoline 24 hours a day. So it absolutely needs to clear, pushing it east.
Okay, you mentioned, you know, a refinery. If a refinery was built, they could ask to connect to your system. You mentioned some other potential for some other jobbers or whatever. If I was a jobber and I wanted to connect to your system, what would I have to Would I have to build some facilities to be able to connect to your facility?
Right. To become a shipper on the NuStar pipeline system, you need to have so you need to supply an origination barrel at Mandan. And once you supply that barrel with your, in your own tankage, we'll take the product and move it to any of those five terminals.
Could I supply it someplace else along your line other than at Mandan? Could I supply it at Jamestown? Or?
No, it has to be a Mandan origin. That has to be the start.
So if I wanted to do it, I'd have to hook up at what, at the refinery, or could I hook up someplace other than just off of the refinery at Mandan?
Currently, you'd have to hook into our Mandan origin.
And you indicated nobody is, as other than Tesoro, was asked to do that.
Correct.
Now, if somebody did that, there was a change in your tariff. Do you is NuStar required to report that to anybody?
If we connected directly in at Mandan, we would continue to have the same. We have a Mandan origin. It doesn't say Tesoro Refinery. It says Mandan. So there wouldn't be a tariff change. If there was an alternate origin point, we would do a tariff change.
And if you do a tariff change, that's something you have to notify the North Dakota Public Service Commission before you do it?
Right. If we did a tariff change where I had intrastate delivery, as we do today, from a North Dakota origin to a North Dakota destination, we would file a new North Dakota tariff as well as a new, and assuming it was FERC jurisdictional, once it leaves the state of North Dakota, we'd file a FERC tariff as well as giving 30 days notice to anyone that's a tariff subscriber.
So as I understand the difference, the North Dakota tariffs and the North Dakota Public Service Commission controls control pipelines that deliver, originate in North Dakota and deliver to a terminal in North Dakota. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then once the fuel passes the Jamestown terminal and goes into Minnesota, now NuStar would be regulated by FERC. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that's the what federal that FERC stands for.
Yeah, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Okay. So which of the sites that NuStar delivers to are in North Dakota?
We deliver to a Burlington Northern Rail facility in Mandan, and we deliver to either Jamestown terminal. That would be intrastate North Dakota. And even in this example, the red line coming up from Aberdeen is FERC jurisdictional because, the origin source is Kansas, Oklahoma, or Texas.
So the Public Service Commission would not have control over that line or that terminal?
Correct.
Who owns the actual fuel that's transported along the pipeline?
All of the line fill in the North Pipeline is owned by Tesoro.
NuStar never becomes the owner of the actual fuel?
We are simply a logistics transportation provider.
Once you get to, say, the North Jamestown Terminal, how, if I'm a jobber, who do I contract with? How do I get fuel off the rack?
All of our facilities are gated. Again, the people coming into our facilities are typically truck drivers. They've got a empty tank that they want to fill up with gasoline. They have to swipe into our gate. Access to that is controlled by Tesoro. Once they get to the loading rack and they're ready to fill their vessel, they again swipe into our load system. But all of the access is controlled by Tesoro. So Tesoro decides who gets to come in and out and take what product.
Who does NuStar bill then for the product that's removed?
All of our transportation services at the terminal and tariff are billed to one customer, which is Tesoro.
So if I'm a jobber, Tesoro would give me a card or tell you to give me a card to be able to come into your facility and obtain fuel from Tesoro?
Correct.
Now, in the Jamestown East Terminal, Does that run similarly? You'd have any of the fuel coming in on from the North Pipeline that would go to Tesoro's customers in that terminal?
The easiest distinction between the two is Jamestown North is exclusively a North Dakota origin barrel. Our Jamestown East facility is some North Dakota, but primarily all Kansas, Oklahoma, or Texas. Multiple customers at Jamestown East, one single customer at Jamestown North.
Now, when you're talking customers, are you talking about the jobbers that are coming in or the people who own the oil that's being shipped in?
I'll refer to what we call a shipper. So it's the person that's making the tender, making the movement on our pipeline. It's not the jobbers.
So they aren't, the jobbers aren't really your customers, they're the customer of the shipper?
Right. The jobbers are work for our customers to just take the fuel from our terminal to either a bulk loading facility or stop and shop, wherever retail gasoline is sold.
Now, I mean, as a retail, could I mean, I come into either of the facilities and fill my car up, or is that a stupid question?
No, the facilities, we're filling semi-trucks with nozzles about 4 inches in diameter. The slowest we'll fill any truck is about 150 gallons a minute. So these are high-pressure loading facilities.
Save you some time.
And typically, the average truck holds about 180 barrels or 8,000 gallons. I think there'd be some excise tax issues as well. But.
Now, you said you have one customer, Tesoro, on the North System Pipeline. Do you provide services to any other people, the general public or any other customers?
We do not.
Now, on the what I've shown you what's been marked as a New Star Exhibit Number 3. What is that document?
This shows, again, the connection that was made to connect the north or the pipeline into the existing Jamestown East Terminal. The from a bird's eye view, you can see the Jamestown North Terminal off to the northwest. Again, this is fed by a lateral that goes one direction straight up. That's from the existing pipeline north terminal.
So the inset picture is the
right. The inside picture is really a sort of a Google picture of what I drew here. And that let's start with, and I apologize if the colors don't match, but let's start with the green line. That's the existing 6-inch line from Aberdeen, South Dakota, heading up to its final resting, you know, is Jamestown East Terminal. That's the end of our Kansas pipeline. At no point does that pipeline, while it crosses over, it doesn't connect into the pipeline. It connects into the terminal facility. Again, 400 barrels an hour approximately. The red line is, again, from Mandan. It's running 2,000 barrels an hour, very high pressure. It juts straight north up to the Jamestown terminal facility. Some of the product is bled or supplied into that terminal to keep product at that terminal, but most of it continues on in a loop, and it's defined as the blue line, but it basically goes up and around like an N, and then heads back to Moorhead.
Excuse me, you said like N.
Oh, like an upside down or an N, lowercase N. It's a
upside down U or
right. The reason, again, what existed, what was new, the green line was always there. The red and the blue line that head again, north, meaning from the existing ground. That was new construction that KNEB did in the spring of 2003 to connect the Jamestown East Terminal to the pipeline.
I would move to admit New Star Exhibit Number 3.
Ms. Madsen.
No objection. Well, one question before I say that. Is there anything that you have with you that shows that loop? That connects the, what would we say, the red and the blue?
Yeah, it's actually part of your, the original three-page confidential flow diagram shows.
Perhaps that would, he's referring to the confidential diagram, so maybe we can go off record, public record.
I believe it's page 2 of 3. Or 3 of 3.
And then if we could, do we have the confidential document that he could? Would it be helpful to actually mark on there the flow? Do you mind if he marks on there the flow of how it would go in there?
Could we do it in some color so we can distinguish his markings from for the record from?
Do you have the red or green markers?
If you look at the R Exhibit 3, which is the photograph, okay, I'm going to go from, there's three pipelines that head north. There's, goes green, red, blue. So if I, and now I'm referring to page 3 of map 3 of 3. The green line is the pipeline on the left. It's the one that's sort of opaque looking. Everybody with me on that? It's again, it's in its direction is from orientated up, meaning from south to north. And that's the existing east line, 6-inch diameter pipeline.
Do you want to just mark on there with the, do you have a green?
Actually, I do have a green. Yeah.
Green. Why don't you mark
on
there?
I'm
going
to put that. That's a green arrow going north. From the south to the north, and again, it's running at approximately 400 barrels an hour.
That would be the east pipeline that's coming down.
Right, that's the terminus of our east pipeline.
Okay, and can you just put the directional of which way that's going under? You did that with the green. Okay,
Immediately parallel, but I'm heading to the right. That is a 10-inch line traveling at 2,000 barrels an hour. That is heading straight north as well.
Okay, and. Okay, and just put that on maybe with red.
Yep, I got red.
Okay, what is the third line then?
Well, let's just follow that line. I'm not an engineer, but that line goes up until it hits a block valve that is either closed or open, typically closed, and it forces it, if again, directionally to the west, and it goes around the horn and then straight back down.
Are we at the top of the diagram?
Maybe why don't you mark where you're with your red the direction of that cross one, and we can show it to council.
It's basically running up, hitting this block valve, heading to the west. Or east, no, east, and then come back down to the south. It's really just going up and around the horn. We built it that way because we needed a way to bleed off some of those barrels to supply that terminal.
And where would it bleed off on that diagram to the east terminal?
There's a block valve. It looks almost like a little time bottle, you know, there's a control valve right here that it would be opened or closed.
That's sort of the hourglass
hourglass. Product's running 2,000 barrels an hour. It doesn't take much of opening that valve to get the limited supply that we need to keep this terminal we call wet with product.
Do you actually open it up where 2,000 barrels an hour go into that system?
No, we don't.
How much do you normally, you know?
I wouldn't. I mean, it's again, the terminal is used to receiving at 400 barrels an hour, so we would open it up a small amount.
Small amount. Is there any connection between the green line that terminates up there and the red line that's sort of like an upside-down U shape?
No, there's not. And hydraulically, it wouldn't make sense because you've got 400 barrels an hour that's coming to a rest, and you're trying to get in the main line that's running at 2,000 barrels an hour.
To actually connect it, you'd have to have whatever you were putting into that.
You'd have to boost up or match the same flow rate going by.
So a pump big enough to get it going up to 2,000 barrels per hour to be able to get anything.
Right, to maintain the flow rate that we're used to running it at.
I think we're in. I'm sorry for the digression.
Just a moment, please. All right, Ms. Manson, exhibit New Star 3, please.
No objection.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
No objection.
Exhibit New Star 3 is received.
Yeah. I think that's all the questions I have on this confidential exhibit. Just to kind of wrap things up, as far as the customers of New Star and Canaan, so since 2002 on this North Pipeline, who has been the customers of Canaan and New Star?
Yeah, the shipper of record and customer has been exclusively Tesoro on the pipeline.
Why don't you call the jobbers that might pick up fuel at either the North System or the East System, or even Burlington Northern, who takes fuel, at their railroad location? Why aren't they? Why don't you consider them customers of Canab and now New Star?
We define customer as the person that makes the tender per our rules and regulations of our tariff, and tenders the product that actually moves on our pipeline.
Is that how New Star gets paid for the services it provides? Is based on the tariff?
Our revenue stream is based on throughput. So when barrels throughput, who comes and picks up the product is ancillary to our business model. I mean, it's not part of what we do.
So and everybody who does pick up product either at BN or at Jamestown North would be customers of who then?
My assumption would be Tesoro, but not New Star.
Not New Star.
Now we don't charge a separate fee for terminaling. We don't charge a separate fee. I mean, it's a bundled tariff.
So for storage, if the fuel stays longer at the North Terminal, you store it longer. You don't charge more for that. Yes.
No, we do not. We do not. That 66 cents that I referred to includes moving from Mandan to either Jamestown Terminal and the use of our storage and terminal.
And then when we get to the Jamestown East Terminal, while you only have one customer on the North System, you have other customers for the East System.
Correct. And the main difference between the way we invoice is that the Jamestown East Terminal is not a bundled tariff. So the customers that are coming from Kansas pay a tariff, plus they pay a separate storage and terminaling fee.
And the customers from Tesoro would just pay their regular tariff,
again,
bundled tariff.
Correct. Because, again, it's a Mandan origin. All of our tariffs are origin-destination pairings. So from Mandan to either Jamestown Terminal, one rate, including storage and terminaling.
Now, you did mention that New Star is a common carrier. Is that correct?
Correct.
But New Star is taking the position you're not a public utility because you're not providing services to the public generally.
We correct. Would object. That calls for a legal conclusion. We have been told by New Star's counsel.
Uh, I guess, does NuStar provide any transportation services along its pipeline to the public generally?
Again, same objection. That's the whole point of this hearing. And we have been told that's a legal conclusion, public generally versus Tesoro.
You certainly can testify as to
overruling.
We do not.
Your Honor, when we filed our motion to withdraw, we had filed an affidavit from Joseph Graham. I believe we've covered virtually everything, but just want to know, is that part of the official record of this hearing, or should we actually offer that as an exhibit? In case I've missed
why don't you offer it as an exhibit? Okay.
What's your mark for that and the supplemental? We'll do that one first. Do that one first. Okay. Yeah. And that will be number 4. Mr. Graham, I'm showing what's been marked as NuStar exhibit number 4 for identification. I believe it's the affidavit that we filed with NuStar's motion to withdraw the application for petition for PCNN. Is that an affidavit that you swore to?
Yes.
And that's your signature at the end, sworn signature at the end of the
correct
document. Okay. I would move to admit the what date is it on there? Do you see that?
January 9th.
I would move to admit the affidavit of Joseph Graham dated January 9th.
Ms. Batson.
It's already part of the record. We have no objection.
Jeff Gotzeko. Oh, I'm sorry.
I have no objection. I wanted to note it's docket number 25.
Exhibit 4 is received.
Mr. Graham, prior to this hearing, did you also prepare a supplemental affidavit?
I did.
Okay. And I guess we'll mark that as NuStar's exhibit number 5. Okay. Is this a copy of the affidavit dated August 6th, the 2009 sworn affidavit?
It is.
And are all the statements contained in there made by you and sworn to be true by you?
They are.
Okay. I would move to admit NuStar exhibit number 5.
Ms. Manson?
No objection.
Jeff Gotzeko?
No objection.
Exhibit NuStar 5 is received.
Graham, I wanted to discuss some of the information Ms. Madsen was talking about referred to statements contained in a 10-K report. What's a 10-K report?
I believe it's an annual report that is filed by public companies each year.
And have you seen the NuStar 10-K report?
I have.
And a document about 160-some pages long. Is that I think this is maybe a copy of one of them.
Yes, it's a long document.
Yeah. Now, there were some statements contained in some of the 10-K reports that talked about the North System Pipeline, I think initially being supplied exclusively by the Mandan Refinery, and then I think later it was primarily by the Mandan Refinery. did you, first of all, did you have any, did you take part in preparing those statements contained in the 10-K report?
I do not prepare them.
Okay. Now, since Kena purchased the North System pipeline, and since NuStar has been operating as well, has the North System pipeline that we're talking about here from Mandan through Moorhead, is that supplied by any other source other than the Mandan Tesoro refinery?
Mandan is the origin for the barrels on the pipeline system, the single origin.
So no other barrels are coming from anywhere in North Dakota?
In North Dakota, no.
And so do you know why it said primarily on there instead of exclusively?
Objection. If he doesn't take part in preparing,
yeah,
there's
I don't
no
know
foundation.
Why.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. So you don't know what, why then?
No. Oh, yes. Sorry. The objection's overruled. He made it. The objections
overruled. Okay. So do you know why?
I am not. I do not know why.
Okay. Is that a true statement that it's only supplied primarily by the Mandan Refinery?
For all intents and purposes, it's yes. It's supplied, you know, exclusively or primarily by the refinery. The reference that we're referring to is that at the end of the pipeline in the Twin Cities.
You have that on the map?
May I ask for some foundation for how this is known if there's no participation in preparing the document?
He may be informed in the course of his work.
Okay. Yeah. The end of the North Pipeline system is what we call a Roseville terminal or at the Twin Cities market. Obviously, with Minneapolis being a very large population, there's multiple pipelines that terminate there. And our Roseville terminal, which, again, the line has already come to rest, has access to barrels from a Magellan terminal right across the street, as well as what we refer to as the Dubuque line, or, again, in my drawing here, from Dubuque heading north to the Twin Cities, meaning that NuStar, for a fee, will let another customer besides Tesoro supply barrels into our terminal and use our truck rack. So that's what I think they're referring to by not exclusively by the Mandan Refinery.
So that would just take place at the Roseville terminal?
Correct.
Not on the pipeline coming into Roseville?
Right, no. It's the use of our truck rack in Roseville.
Okay. Now, there were a number of other statements about the North Pipeline, again, contained in the 10-K over the years, that said that the North Pipeline is capable of delivering or receiving products to or from the East Pipeline. Is the North Pipeline capable of delivering products to the East? Is that a true statement?
It is a true statement to say the North Pipeline delivers products to the East Jamestown Terminal.
Terminal.
Correct.
Okay. Not to the actual East Pipe. It doesn't go on the actual East Pipeline.
Right.
Okay. Is the North Pipeline capable of receiving products from the East Pipeline?
It is not.
And that's where you have the problems with the difference in pressure, 400 barrels per hour versus 2,000
right.
plus barrels.
Right. It's not hydraulically possible.
And then on the, okay. So the statements there would not be accurate.
I would have written it can, I would have just stopped at the word to.
Delivered to the East Terminal.
Right. But I did not author them.
If you did make a modification, and I guess that's, you would have to do that to connect anything from the east pipeline to the north pipeline. Would that require a change in tariff, notification to the North Dakota Public Service Commission, notification to FERC? So you were actually taking products from the east pipeline and transporting them on the north pipeline?
I don't know. That would not, because a Jamestown origin, in this case, if I started from Jamestown now and delivered, I wouldn't stop in North Dakota. I would, my first place to stop would be Moorhead, which would be not jurisdictional. It would be interstate commerce.
So a barrel from Kansas that went through and connected onto the north system and went to Moorhead would not be under the jurisdiction of the North Dakota Public Service Commission?
Correct.
I would like to object to that line of questioning. Again, I think we've got some legal conclusions going.
Well, he may have, but he's also experienced as part of his job duties, at least previously, were regulatory matters. I think he's qualified and able to testify. He may be wrong, but that's your problem, Ms. Benson.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
You know, I understand the witnesses' time restraints, but I think it's appropriate. Let's take a short break for about, let's try 5 minutes. Just very briefly stretch and come back and go to work.